Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show, and I'm your host, Ron Sitch. And today, we're going to talk NFL. We're going to talk about bullies who got their comeuppance, too. One was University of Baylor, and the other was a young lady named Ronda Rousey. So we're going to talk about that, too. First, we're going to talk about the NFL and the New England, the big games, the New England Patriots and the Giants. And this game was really about the screw-ups of the Giants. Sometimes if you're a really good team, you can win games by sitting back and letting the other team just implode it and screw the game up. Sometimes you could dominate. Sometimes you don't bring your A game and play kind of bad or get injuries. And then you got to rely on the other team to screw up. And that's what New England did. They allowed the Giants to screw this game up. And I'm going to go over the screw-ups that they had. First of all, it was, and the Giants are playing good. They're up 17-10 after Dwayne Harris gets a one-yard pass. Eli Manning's playing good. He made one bad mistake with about 9:32 left in the third quarter. He overthrows his tight end. They're up 17-10. They could go up two scores, which would really put a lot of pressure on New England when they lost Julian Edelman, their heart and soul of their passing offense. They don't really run the ball that much that good. They rely on just precise, pinpoint, perfect passing. And Edelman was gone, so it gave him some trouble. And the Giants got to Brady a little bit. But they're up. They get a field goal, 20-10. They stop New England. The Giants get the ball back, and I'm thinking, you better make it 23-10 or 27-10. You better score. They don't score. And this is the problem. They don't score, and they have to punt the ball. They punt the ball to Amendola. And Amendola takes it all the way to the 2-yard line. So, stupid bad play number two, punt coverage. We have Eli missing a wide open tight end for a touchdown to go up two scores. Now we have the bad punt return. So now New England scores. Get them really back in the game. They're back in now. Now you give them life. You give New England life. The Giants come back down the field, but they don't really move the ball, so they have to settle for a field goal. 23-17 going into the fourth quarter. So you know New England's going to score to take the lead. It's easy. This is an easy script to write. Gronkowski, 76-yard pass from Tom Brady. Bad play number three. Easy tackle. He breaks the tackle. But it was a poor job of tackling at the 50-yard line. Runs 50 yards straight down the field for the score. 24-23. Now the Giants come all the way down the field. Bad play number four. They come all the way down the field, and they really need a score. They do a terrible job of clock management. Under 2 minutes left. You want to run this clock down to about 1 minute. And then if you don't get the score, you kick a field goal, don't give them a lot of time. But no, they don't. They wait. They use about 8 seconds when they get by the goal line. That's it. And then they throw a pass to Odell Beckham. He catches the ball, and he doesn't hold on because Bolden knocks the ball out of his hand. If you're a big-time receiver with the game on the line, you're too strong for him. Michael Irvin, you would have had to take a Sherman tank to get that ball out of Michael Irvin's hand. And Beckham doesn't hold on. He doesn't man up and hold on to that football. And you have to win this game. Once you grab that ball, no one in this world is smacking it out of my hands. Just smacking it out of his hands easy. And he did that to Beckham all day. So I want to see Beckham get I love the one-handed catches and everything. I want to see him get a little more mentally tougher. And that's the one thing he could add to his repertoire. But that was costly. Costliest was New England gets the ball, and a rare Brady mistake. Landon Collins gets an easy interception lob to him, and he drops it. So New England gets life, and they go all the way down the field, kick the field goal, win the game. And you know, between this and the Saints game, if the Giants don't win the division and miss the playoffs, they're gonna replay this game and the Saints game all spring and summer. And I'm going to go now to the Cardinals and the Cardinals and Seahawks. And the Seahawks have played regret all year long. They've kind of couldn't get out of their own way. And the Cardinals, what they did, and I'm going to tell you why I like what the Cardinals did. They really, when you go into Seattle, that defense plays intense. The offense plays intense because Russell Wilson is rushing. Marshawn Lynch is playing downhill. And they're really doing what they have to do. But the Cardinals came in with the attitude, we're going to be as intense and tough-minded as the Seahawks here. And they get a field goal. They go down the field, get a field goal. They get a safety when Russell Wilson fumbles the ball. And then they come right. They were moving the ball all night. Michael Floyd gets a 27-yard pass where Richard Sherman was peeking, and he made the wrong read. And Richard Sherman has made a couple of bad plays this year. He's holding more than ever. And there's a couple more pass interference plays. They're just not putting it all together. And then Seattle scores, and then the Cardinals make it 22-7 on another field goal. They drive again, the end of half. Then Seattle comes down and gets the field goal. They didn't score, and they had an opportunity. Graham drops a pass. And then Doug Baldwin finally scores to make it 25-17. They're down 8. And then Lynch scores, and they don't get the two-point conversion. And now they have full momentum. And then a fumble, because there was two fumbles. They stripped Carson Palmer twice. But Carson Palmer was tough in this game. They strip him, 22-yard return, 29-25. You're thinking Seattle got him now. This is a typical Seattle win. The defense is going to shut the door down. No way. And the biggest play of the game was this tip ball that Sherman had that was caught by the Cardinals to keep the drive alive. And the Cardinals drive all the way down the field and get a touchdown. And then they get a stop. And then for good measure, they go all the way down the field. Ellington gets a 48-yard run. And that's the game, basically. Third down and 3, Andre Ellington runs 48 yards down the field to put the game away. That would never happen. It's a head-scratcher. But Seattle's 4-5 now, and they're struggling. And Arizona should win the division. They're 7-2. And they should win the division and get the 2 seed behind Carolina, who won 27-10 against Tennessee. And Carolina keeps rolling. And Cam Newton is playing really good. The puzzling game is the Packers. I figure the Packers will beat the Lions. The Lions haven't won there in 25 years, and the Lions can't get out of their own way. And they still couldn't get out of their own way in this game. They were up. It was 6, I believe it was a tight game, and they were up one score. They get a touchdown. It's 18-10. You make the extra points, 19-10, and that game is over, and Prater misses. And he missed 2 extra points. And that gave the Packers an opportunity to go all the way down the field and score. And you figure they get the 2-point conversion. They did. Well, okay, the Lions are going to win. Offside kick. And Megatron can't hold on to the offside kick. Green Bay gets the ball, no timeouts, and they still get a long pass down the field to set up the field goal. And you figure this is Green Bay game. Detroit has made so many mistakes, and their kick was blocked. And somehow Detroit wins. And Green Bay is just in a worse way than Detroit is right now, even though they're 6-3 and Detroit's 2-7. They better hurry up and get their act together because they got to go to Minnesota. Minnesota's hot right now. The Minnesota Vikings are on fire. Oh, we got a caller. Coast to Coast Radio.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on?
This is Kenny, Dallas Cowboy fan.
Bad news, you lost. Good news, you're very much in it. You are very much in this because the Giants kept screwing up losing. They screwed up big time. I can't trust the Skins even though they win. I can't trust Kirk Cousins. And the Eagles, I don't know how they lost at home to the Dolphins, so I can't have trust the Eagles. And you're 2 games back. You could lose next week and still the whole rest of the division lose and you could still in it. If Romo comes back and he's healthy, what if you win 5 in a row? I mean, if you just get in, watch out. But you got this guy on this team that I've been – that you got this cancer on your team. His name is Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
And you got to get rid of him. because he had another incident with another woman. This man is unrepentant, and he's unremorseful, and he's got anger in him, and he's got demons in him. And the only way that I'm going to tell you, I would feel bad if I was a woman dating him. Them demons ain't get unleashed yet. He got a lot of issues inside him, and the Cowboys should cut bait and get rid of him. And I think that's the biggest problem with the Cowboys, because if you got a lot of internal, you get their internal issues right out, you can still win. There's still hope, baby.
Yeah, I got, but it's his off playing, off the things that's done off the field really affecting his play on the field.
Yeah, it should. It should. When you go hit a woman and you're unrepentant, you're like, big deal. Yeah, it should. It should affect you off on the field. The guy's a creep. I never say that about people. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he might have some issues off the field, but
he sure does. He's a great player on the field.
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem with the Cowboys. I think dealing with the
part of it because
injuries.
You got to deal with this guy. Injuries are really big. I mean, with you know, losing Dez for a while, losing Romo was huge.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but it just seems like there's a dark cloud over your team with this guy. I just think you cut him and move on, and then you still, you even if you don't win this year, you still have Romo coming back, and then you can add, there's a lot of great running backs in the draft. So if you get a real running back to go along with what you, because McFadden comes and goes. He's like the wind. It's windy one day, or the other day it's not windy. That's what McFadden is.
That's
not consistent.
Well, what I think what the Cowboys need to start doing is looking for an upcoming quarterback, someone they can groom.
Mm-hmm.
Whedon is not the answer. Romo is getting old. I can see Romo another year or two looking like how Peyton Manning is looking today.
I'm going to get the payback. He looks washed. He looks like me and you out there trying to throw a football.
Yes. So, I mean, granted, Romo hasn't yet to win a Super Bowl. But stat-wise, number-wise, he's up there with the greatest. And it's a shame that he's been playing his best football the past 2 years, but he just injury after injury.
Yeah,
injury after injury.
Last year was your year, I felt. Last year was
the
year with DeMarco Murray.
We were robbed, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that. But we ain't going to dwell on the past too long. But again, I think the Cowboys need to start investing. We still have a pretty young team. If we keep the model of keeping a good front lineman up, we should be good. And I think Romo may have another 2 years. But we do need a solid upcoming quarterback to assist. So when we're doing good and we're going to the end of the season, we don't have to take those chances. For example, how Elway probably shouldn't have played.
I'm
going to
tell you something. Jerry Jones is big on knowledge of Oklahoma, Arkansas, and all those Texas teams. You go draft a guy by the name of Baker Mayfield. I'm about to talk about him in a little while. He's a big-time, tough quarterback. He's kind of built like Romo. He kind of plays like Romo. And that could be your future. Baker Mayfield. Remember that name from Oklahoma University.
All right, you got it.
Because you may be able to get him in the lower round, second round, because a lot of other quarterbacks coming up. And this kid is really good. And he's really tough. So I would go that route and then let Romo train him. Because they're about the same size, too. I think that would be perfect for you. And Jerry Jones loves getting Arkansas and Oklahoma guys because he likes that.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Okay.
What's your take on Jay Cutler and Chicago? They look like they starting to make a little
run. I want to tell you something. Jay Cutler is matured. Peyton Manning, I did a playing good, playing bad. Playing bad is Peyton Manning, who went 5 for 20, 35 yards passing and 4 interceptions, and he looks washed up. Jay Cutler has matured. He got a quarterback coach who taught him how to use his feet right. He had footwork problems his whole career. He switched his foot. His left foot is ahead of the right foot when he's in a shotgun. He catches the ball He's in perfect position to throw the ball now, and he's matured as a person, and he's thrown the ball better. 258 yards yesterday, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You know, he's an interception machine. He's not throwing them. He's not throwing them. Guy's playing good. I can't, I would knock him. You know, he's kind of a goofball at times, but he's not a goofball this year. Play good.
All right, I got to go.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, buddy. Great call, great call. Kenny, the Cowboys fan, keep the faith. They're still in it. I mean, so. But, yeah, Jay Cutler has played out of his mind. And sometimes you just got to give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, he's having a good year. And Teddy Bridgewater is a great game manager, playing great for the Vikings, who destroyed the Raiders 30-14 because of Adrian Peterson. 26 carries, 203 yards. And Adrian Peterson wanted to get traded, but the grass is never greener. Look at him now in Minnesota, flourishing. They're in first place right now, and they got Green Bay coming to town. They're playing better than Green Bay. Bridgewater's playing good. Their receiving core is solid. They're poised to beat the Packers and go 8-2. And they go 8-2, they're going to be fighting Arizona for that 2 seed. And we don't know how this is going to shake down. The Bears are 4-5. They're still in it. The Skins are 4-5, and they're still in it. You got a lot of 4-5, 4-6 teams. They're going to be fighting for their wild card. The Rams are 4-5. Seattle's 4-5. So it's going to be, and if the Falcons ever lose, they have 4 losses. So the teams that are 4-5 are going to be battling for teams that, you know, battling the Falcons, who could be 6-4 if they lose again. Falcons aren't playing good. So the wild card is wide open in the NFC. And the AFC is more or less the Patriots, the Bengals, and then the Denver's probably locked in the 3 seed. And then you can have Jacksonville, Texans, or the Colts win the division. And that's who's going to be fighting for the lower seed as far as the division winner, playing either Pittsburgh or the Jets or Buffalo. So there you have it. Now I want to talk about Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma. He was 24 of 34, 270 yards and 3 touchdowns, and they punched. Baylor tried to bully Oklahoma because they blew everybody out, and they punched everybody in the face, and they ran up the score. So when they got behind on Oklahoma, they looked almost in panic mode, and they committed a lot of 15-yard penalties because they were always yapping, always trying to get in the heads of Oklahoma. And Baker Mayfield wasn't having it. And Samaje Perine went off, 166 yards. Sterling Shepard had 177 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. And they just beat Baylor up. So I respect that. And right now, my 4 best teams in college football is Clemson at number 1, Ohio State at number 2, because it's still a chance. Bama at number 3. And it's a tie. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma State at number 4. And if Oklahoma is tied with Notre Dame, they're going to put Notre Dame in. The strength of schedule is somewhat close. And Oklahoma's a better team. Just the eye test tells me. I love Notre Dame. I like to. If Notre Dame gets in, that's fine. Look, you know, let's rematch Clemson if Clemson gets in. They'll be the 4 seed. You know, I like my chances if that happens. They got a chance. Neutral field. They lost to Clemson at home. But Oklahoma's better. But the problem is Oklahoma got blown out by Texas and Notre Dame on a neutral site. Notre Dame blew Texas out at home. And they're going to look at that Texas game, and that could be the determining factor. Now, if Oklahoma State gets in and they win out, Oklahoma State, I got to put them in and push Notre Dame out. I'm not putting in a Pac-12 team. Forget that. The Pac-12, Stanford losing, let's forget that. Even if Stanford beats Notre Dame, they're not going to get in. The Pac-10 is, Pac-12 is on the outside now. Unless Utah can run the table, and then you never know. There's a lot of college football to be played. Michigan could win these next two games, beat Penn State and beat OSU, and then go beat Iowa. And you got two lost Michigan teams sitting there saying, okay, we did our job. Let's get us in. And then Notre Dame sitting there with one loss. And that's going to be a tough job for the committee right there. Now, my next bully who got their comeuppance is Ronda Rousey, who got knocked out by Holly Holm. And there were some things. Now, Ronda Rousey, I really like her. Attractive. She's blonde. She's, you know, great fighter. And I was like, wow, she's excited. I want to watch her. But the more each fight, she got cockier and cockier and a little more out of hand, talking a little, just, okay, a lot of people talk stuff and talk junk, just took it too far, and it hyped her up too much, the greatest thing ever with 12 fights. And if you know MMA and you know technique, her signature move is armbar. But who knew she was a one-trick pony? Because Holly Holm was a boxer. And there's something Ronda Rousey did do before the bout started. Two things I don't think you do. Two things you leave off as far as talking trash. You don't talk about somebody's dead relative. You don't talk about somebody's mama. You don't talk about somebody's wife. You don't talk about somebody's faith. And she mocked her faith. And it put me off. And she's each time, each fight, she's a little after a little, she's turned me off. She's officially completely turned me off now of arrogance when she came in that ring. And Holly Holm just boxed her, boxed circles around her, bloodied her eye because she didn't have a plan B. She wanted to come in there in 38 seconds, I'm going to get you an arm bar, and we're going home. And that didn't happen. And because she was a one-trick pony, she got beat to a pulp. And then finally knocked out with a left-handed kick to the head. It was gruesome. I got scared after a while because she was in a bad state of mind. And then I thought they should have just sent her right to the hospital because you don't mess around with concussion. But they stood her up and everything. And I think she was fortunate that she's okay. But I would take about 6 months off. If I was her, get your head clear and then fight. Humble yourself if you're Ronda Rousey. I know Ray Lewis talked to her. Talk to her about humility. Humble yourself. Go back to learn how to box, learn how to fight, and humble yourself. Come back and say, listen, I'm going to be more humble and hungry. You'll win me back. But if you're still going to be that arrogant, sane person, you're going there against Holly Holm again and get beat again. And I looked at Twitter. People were very happy she lost. She must have created a lot of people who disliked her. And MMA, Dana White didn't do any favors by hyping her up and letting her say whatever. Now I think you got to rein her in and be like, listen, it's time for the Humility Act now. You got beat. And another bad thing, whoever she fights, the aura of intimidation is gone. Because now you know that I'm going to hit her, and I don't know if she got any kind of chin now. I could just take my time and counterpunch her, stay away from wrestling too much, and not get in an arm bar, and I'm going to win. So there's a lot of things Dana White has to fix over there. But now next week is when the biggest college games come on, so I'm going to talk about that next Saturday.